Got a new piece, the remote.
It's been, you know.
They're on.
Yeah. Okay. So, we're discussing... Oh, you were out yesterday, right? Okay, so discussing if you kill somebody while doing a mitzvah, if you accidentally kill them doing a mitzvah, you're potter. Right? Okay. So it says, as an example, but it says it has to be while doing the mitzvah itself. It can't just be in some, like, early preparatory stage. Like, if you're chopping wood down to build sukkah, see, that doesn't count. Because there's no mitzvah to chop the wood, and you're not building the sukkah, it's like just getting wood. If you would have found the wood, you wouldn't have to chop it down. So that's just like, you're in the process of building a sukkah, but objectively, your action has no character of mitzvah to it. So that doesn't count. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, so yeah, but there's a case that says if a father or a Rebbe is hitting his kid and kills him, so then that's pater, because that's mitzvah. He says, yeah, but if the kid was a good kid and he wasn't making trouble, then it wouldn't be a mitzvah to him. So why don't you say, now too, it's not a mitzvah. The same way as by the chopping the wood, you'll say, if you would have found the wood, there wouldn't have been a mitzvah. So therefore here, it's not really a mitzvah. So say the kid, hitting the kid, is if you wouldn't have to hit the kid. If the kid was acting fine, then you wouldn't have to hit him. So now it happens to be that he's acting poorly, but that's not really the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to teach him. And teaching him Torah doesn't demand that you hit him. It just happens to be this kid needs it. So it just happens to be, in this case, you have to cut down wood to build a sukkah. Why is it any different? Right? So you were right yesterday, right?
I was in the tape.
Okay, good. So the one answer is no, is that it's a mitzvah to hit the kid anyways. It's always a mitzvah to hit the kid. Even if he's good. Because he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, which says, it's a pasuk in Mishlei, Chavtas Yud Zayin. Yaser bincha v'yanichek. Chastise your son and he will give you rest. V'yitein madana l'nafshecha. And he will grant pleasures to your soul. Okay, so it means chastise him. Yaser, I guess, could mean like to punish, give musar. It's like the term musar. Hit. I guess in this sense, it's using it to mean hit. So hit him and it will give you rest and it will give you pleasure. Give your soul pleasure. Which is kind of interesting, right? Yitain lecha menucha. We'll give you rest in the midst of this set. V'lo yitirgas b'avura. We'll get angry about him. Okay, you'll have simcha about his meisim. That's what the midst of this says. It'll be good. It'll end up good. If you give him a little bit of musar, you know, then it'll help you. It'll end up working out. Right. So therefore it's saying that it's always a mitzvah to hit the kid. So if you hit the kid, so don't tell me that it's not a mitzvah. It's not really a mitzvah mitzvah. No, it is a mitzvah mitzvah because it's a thing. It's like intrinsically part of chinuch. It's intrinsically part of it. But I guess you would have thought, I guess in Tzav Amino, you'd think, what's hitting for? What's the mitzvah for? For when your chinuch goes wrong, when there's a problem. It's for a problem kid. Right? It's intrinsically there for a case where it goes awry. You don't have wood. You don't have a good kid that's making trouble. So it's teaching you now. It's not sure. It's intrinsically part of chinuch. The hitting is part and parcel of chinuch. And therefore, you don't say it's just like achshar. That's part of the thing. It's a component of the, here's the thing. It's a component of the chinuch. It's not just chinuch means teaching Torah. And in abstract, just giving a shiur. And then when he messes up and it's not working out, then you have to interject with hitting. So you know, it's like part of the process of chinuch itself is the muzzer. The example is like, let's say you teach in high school. So if you teach in high school, you could say that I like teaching, I like the teaching, but I don't like having to do discipline. So one may argue the perspective that a teacher who has about that is his job is to teach. His job is just to give over abstract material. And now the kids make trouble and they're disrupting. So now you have to hit them, we have to do muscle, you have to discipline them to basically get back to doing your job. Your job is really teaching. But I would think that's a mistake. Because the real person who's really a high school teacher knows that the job is to teach a high school student. And teaching a high school student is not just saying over material, but it involves dealing with the person and the whole person, and dealing with his issues and with the mussar and with the discipline. You know, that's all part of the job. So you can say you don't like your job, but don't pretend like your job is just teaching over a body of knowledge, and then a kid is just getting in the way of that. That's part of what a kid is the discipline issues. That's part of the job. So the thing is that similar point here is that the mussar is not the hitting, the mussar, the whole parsha is not when your chinuch goes awry. Chinuch is not just, again, teaching Torah in an abstract, removed way, as if you're just teaching it to a robot. And then the kids' problems, and the kids' problems become like an issue and they disrupt it, and you know, and then you have to kind of start hitting him when the chinuch isn't working out. But it's like the mussar, since teaching is teaching to a person, and a person has midos, so part of teaching is the hitting, and there's the mussar, and that has to be part of how you're teaching Torah. You can't teach Torah and not deal with the fact that he's a human being, and he has like tendencies which are bad, and you have to help him work on those tendencies and help him overcome his weaknesses. Everyone has weaknesses as a human being. And therefore, it has to be part of your education, part of your chinuch has to be the giving him the ability to be disciplined and the ability to show him, to move him towards the good. There's no, that's part of the thing. And even if it's good, to move him stronger to the good. Move him, everyone has problems, has flaws, has weaknesses, and they'll just be accepting of what he is. But you could teach him to rise to a higher level. And that's part of the teaching. It's part and parcel. It's not what you do when the teaching doesn't work. That's part of teaching a human being, is pushing him in a way that he could rise to a better, to a higher level. So, and if you do that, then it's saying, if you're able to do that, then you'll be able to, this is the positive initially, and you'll be successful, and you'll have a workout. If you're afraid to do that, and you're not really willing to push him, and just kind of let him go on his own way, then it seems like he's going to be in trouble. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's not so simple, It's not so simple to execute, first of all. But it seems to me it's saying is that it's holding, the Gemara and the Pasuk is holding, that Musar is like part and parcel of any education. But I think it's because you're teaching a kid or a human being who does have tendencies of which are negative and which are not in line with truth. And you have to keep him, give him a force of reason, and a strong force of reason to help, guide him in a proper derech. That's interesting with the Ritva says. This is kind of interesting. He says, how do you know from the Pasuk? The Pasuk just says, Ya'aser ben chavyanichaik. Right, give musa to your kid, and he'll give you a rest, and it'll be pleasant. So how do you know that means, even if he's doing good? Plus, doesn't say that. Maybe it's talking about a kid who's bad. It's talking about a kid who has problems. You got to have a muscle. How do you know it's even talking about a kid who's like who's not doing something wrong? Because right, that's the whole point of this Gemara. This is the main point of the Gemara. If muscle is hitting is dependent upon a condition of a particular kid, then you're saying it's not intrinsically part of the mitzvah. Then you're saying it's just another thing. It's like cutting, chopping the wood. It's just after. Certain kids need me to give them, to hit them, in order to allow me to teach them. Other kids don't. Certain sukkahs need to be chopped down, others don't. But the whole answer is that no, it's intrinsically part of the mitzvah. Even for a kid who's a good kid, still you have to push him. You have to push him to a higher level. You have to use force to help direct him. You have to know he's a human being and he has failings. Every human being has failings and has midos ra'os. And you have to push him towards the tov. And you have to apply a certain amount of force. So how do you know that, though? The Pasuk doesn't say that. It just says, Yasser ben Chovei. Hit him and he'll give you rest. Maybe it's talking about a specific kind of a kid. I mean, it doesn't say that it's talking about, what's the drash? So the Ritva says, he learns it out. Where'd it go? Oh, here we go. Here, Shudai Kachi. Kolomar. What does it mean? Afapish ensar achshav zeh. So it says, hit him and it will give you rest in the future. Saying, and it'll give you stuff. And I was just talking about, hit him and it will lead to good things in the future. right? So he's saying is, in theory, what do you mean? Hit him so you'll stop his bad things right now. And like, why are you saying it? Hit him and it will, normally if you think of a kid making trouble, hit him and then later it will pay off. What about right now? You gotta stop his thing. So he's saying is the fact that it says, it's talking about, and it will give you rest in the future, like in the future tense, is like almost like the hitting is not servicing a current need as opposed to servicing a future need. You know, so you're saying, well, it must be, it's talking about a kid who doesn't really necessarily even have a current need. But still, in the long term, this Moser is will help you in the future. It's not a response. I guess the point is, it's not a response to a problem. Moser is not a response to a problem, as Moser is just a part of the Derech of Chinuch for the future. Yeah. Point. I mean, someone asked this, Moshe asked yesterday, does that mean that everyone should be hitting their kids? Is that what they were saying, that you should? And you have to hit everybody? So, I don't know, it could just be you have to give muster to everybody. And everybody's muster is different. Sometimes it demands hitting, sometimes it doesn't. But the point is, when you're hitting, that's an action of muster. And since muster is part of the mitzvah of chinuch, you don't say it's an extraneous thing. All you have to do is to show that muster is part of the mitzvah itself. It's not just because of a problem. Now, if you show me that muster is part of chinuch, right, that's part of chinuch, so now when I hit, that's an action of muster, and hit muster is part of chinuch, so now you don't say it's like a hatcher, right? Like chopping the wood is never the mitzvah, it's never a mitzvah itself, it's not part of the building, it's like it's just the preparation. But if you could show me that that's built in, part of chinuch is, any good chinuch involves in muster. Now the fact that it doesn't necessarily involve hitting, but hitting is just an instance of muster, and the muster is part of the chinuch, so now this is part of the mitzvah. The fact that it didn't have to take on this particular form doesn't mean that it's not a, but whatever, it's an action of muster, and muster is part of the chinuch. The major thing in chinuch, in the muster, I think, is the idea of helping a person see consequences, of see the long-term consequences of their actions, and see that there are negative consequences to what they're doing, and that's kind of like hitting. Hitting kind of helps the person see, bring to mind that their midos rows have consequences. So if a person is doing something wrong, you hit them, you basically associate in their mind the fact, they don't just have a lazy approach, kind of says, like, eh, whatever. It's an added opinion, whatever, I have this problem, who cares? It doesn't matter. But it's not true, it does matter, and it makes a difference in your future. Now, but you can't necessarily see that future, but you could see the hit. But the hit is basically telling you, or the muster is telling you, is bringing to your emotional world it's to remind you and to make you think about the fact that your flaws make a difference. But they make a difference to your emotions because of the hit. But that hit, it should bring to your mind the fact that they really make a difference. The hit is just reminding you, it's giving you a lesson to make you think about the fact, don't just ignore this and think it's nothing. It's not nothing, it's something. It's not just the hit. The hit you'll wear off, but you should use the hit to make you think into the thing and think about the fact that your decisions and the way you live your life has a lot of major consequences in terms of your overall everything, in terms of your overall happiness and overall good and having a good life, in terms of your whole closeness to God and your Torah mitzvahs, but just in terms of everything, your whole life is affected by your midos, even when you're young, the decisions that you make, the way you set up your life makes a difference. But again, it's hard, it's a mature thing to think about, but the hit kind of hits your emotions, and then it kind of could give you a moment to pause and reflect. But if you don't, then it's going to, then it doesn't work. I mean, that's what I'm saying, it doesn't work if you don't really, if you're just afraid of the hit, then you just make sure your dad's not there, and then everything's fine, and what's it going to do? It doesn't do anything. If you become like, you know, I think the goal of a real muster is to get the person to see beyond the head and beyond the muster, to get them to be as a mature individual to really think about the true harm which they're causing themselves. The hit is a stand-in for the real harm. The real harm is what you gotta really try to, you know, key in on. The hit just hit to get your emotions to consider that.
How do we get around that?
Yeah, okay, so originally we thought it meant a hit per se, because the whole thing is, from the Gemara, it sounds like you have to be talking about a hit per se, because the whole thing is that we're saying is hitting mitzvah or not, right? So it's saying, what's the measure? You see, is chopping wood a mitzvah or not? So it says, well, if you had wood, you wouldn't have to chop wood, so too, therefore it's not a mitzvah. So now, but if you carry that over, you should say, since if the kid were good, you wouldn't have to hit him. So to now, so it's not a mitzvah. So the Gemara answers, no, you always have to give Musar. But the question is, yeah, but you don't have to hit. It doesn't say you have to hit, just say you have to give Musar. Right? So you could try to say, no, you have to hit. But it's not saying that, and it's not, why, it doesn't really seem reasonable. Why do you always have to hit? You know, but I think we're answering, no, that the concept is you have to give Musar. But Musar is part of Chinuch. Now, if you're hitting, then that's a Maisa of Musar. So that's a Maisa that's part of Chinuch. It's not just a Hechsher. That is the form of the Mitzvah. Musar is a part of the Mitzvah of Chinuch, involves Musar. So now, whatever form you're using, for one guy you may be yelling at him, another kid may be making him feel guilty, another kid may be hitting him, or whatever it is. Whatever form you're using, that is part of the mitzvah, because conceptually you're involved in a ma'aseh of musar, not involved in a ma'aseh of hitting. So that, some of that is mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you had to define it like conceptually, not just practically. Practically it's a hit, but conceptually it's a ma'aseh of musar, and that's part of the mitzvah. You know what I mean? So I think that's what's bothersome. I'm not sure if it's emotionally bothersome or it's not reasonable. It doesn't seem reasonable that every kid needs to be hit. I mean, you'd think is there's different methods of Musar. So it would seem there is sometimes you have to be, you know, you could say you have to put your foot down and the kid's not going to listen to a weaker form of Musar. Sometimes maybe you have to be strong and show him this is serious, you know, and it's not a big deal. It's a big deal, and a hit could convey a message more than just words, or more than something else you could do, perhaps. But to say that that's always necessary would seem to be. It's not the only tool in a Baal Musar or his father or Rabbi's arsenal. It's a hit, and to say that that's always necessary for every kid doesn't seem. You know, I hear the point that everyone needs Musar, but there's different forms. Different forms of it too. Yeah, okay, that's a good point. So the part saying is that it will give the person who's hitting rest and pleasures later. That's funny. What does that mean? Why is that? What does that mean? What's the point of that? Why is it saying it like that? You know? It's a funny pasuk, right? It's a funny thing. Hit your kids so you'll have pleasure and you'll rest. Like, what's giving him a, you know? It's like a funny idea. Yeah, that's true. Maybe we have to think about it like this. In terms of Mishlei is oftentimes, it's like dealing with yourself and dealing with your psychology and mistakes that a person makes in his assessment of how he lives. So if you'd have to say, like, why does a person not give Musar? That's good. Why does the person refrain from that? You're right. I mean, the one thing is, it seems there's two points here. One thing is that a person doesn't want to rock the boat. And look at this here, he says you'll backfire. He doesn't want to, like, it's a confrontation. He doesn't want the person is peaceful. He wants, like, calm and quiet and rest and, you know, that type of a thing. He doesn't want to have those kinds of things. They're not comfortable. They're conflicted. Right? They involve, like, stress. The person has that idea, so he wants to kind of just, you know, let live. Like, chill out, let him do his thing. And like that, that's another thing someone just said. I forget who's that. But you look, he's his own person. I'll just let him do his thing. Not me, it's him. This is his look. He has to do his own. He has to live his own life, and he'll do his thing. And that's a certain other type of motivation. But it's another type of a thought process a person has. Look, it's not me, it's him. He's his own person. And, you know, I don't know if that's why he does it, but that's the way you think about it. But the answer, but the point is no. First of all, it may think it's another person, but it largely affects you. I mean, a problem kid is a problem parent, and, you know, it's not true, even in terms of your emotions. See, I think this is the point of Mishlei, just a preface. Mishlei is not like a philosophy of the abstract good. It's more like the psychology and the consequences which will hit a person on a personal, emotional level from bad decisions. Like, that's total holds. Bad decisions are not just philosophically bad, they're bad for you, just in terms of your basic happiness. And Mishlei shows you how mistakes and bad decisions in life will lead you to negative consequences in your life. Don't be an idiot. You can harm yourself if you make bad decisions. That's in general the Torah's message. The Torah's message is not, you know, don't do it for Hashem, do it for yourself. Hashem is the Tov Lach. And so far as Mishlei draws out consequences of your mistakes. So one, so a person is often telling, look, there's, of course there's a lishma motivation in teaching or not teaching a kid, and chinuch, and Torah, and Hashem, and the mitzvot, but there's also a personal motivation. The person loses his life, his emotions, so your emotions cause you to make mistakes. So the saying is, even in the framework of your emotions, you're making a mistake. So your emotions will feel, look, he's him, on me, I'll live by myself. But it's not true, you can't. You're your kid, and your kid is, if your kid has problems, you're going to have problems. You're emotionally, you can't separate your own, your kid's life from your life. It just doesn't work. They say, there's a saying, is you're as happy, you're only as happy as your least happy child. So they say. Yeah. Something like that. So, because your life is caught up with your kids, you know, and if a kid has problems, you know, sorrows that people have with problem kids are, you know, you can't dissociate yourself from them. It just doesn't work. Yeah. But then I think the other point, and this is an important point, is that the person doesn't want conflict. Okay? But that's a mistake. The mistake is that you kind of say, oh, I'm a peaceful guy. I don't want to have any conflict. I just want a pleasant, calm life. I don't want to have these types of confrontations. But the problem, the mistake is that the kid needs mussar. And a kid needs some degree of discipline and control. A kid isn't going to be disciplined on his own, and you're the parent, and you have to teach a kid to be able to discipline, to see consequences, to be able to... And if you just sit back and let a kid go in his own way, and he's going to end up killing himself. You know, either he'll run to the street when he's a little kid, he'll run to the street and get it by a car. Obviously, you have to discipline him, and then he'll just go on bad paths. And you have to show him there's consequences. You have to teach him, and sometimes you have to hit him, sometimes you have to... Whatever muscle involves, but... is to say that, well, I just don't want to have any conflict, you may think in the short term you'll be happier. Because, look, I'm just chilling out, I'll do my own thing, I'm letting him do his thing, I'm doing my thing, everything's all nice and calm. But it leads to a problem kid who can't control himself, who's going to end up, you know, living a bad life, and is going to give you the calmness and the... You want the life that doesn't have any of the stresses. You just want things to be calm. But that kid is going to make your life miserable. That kid is going to be... It's not going to be... And if you want to have the calm life, a little bit of discipline, a little bit of confrontation, now will give you the anicheka. It will give you rest later. So you're looking for rest now. You're really looking for rest. You got to be long-sighted, not short-sighted. If you're short-sighted, you want rest now, you'll just let him do his thing and you'll just hope for the best. But it doesn't work out. It's counterproductive. You want rest. You got to be... You're making a mistake. And you're even in the framework of your emotions that you're looking for a pleasant life. It's impossible to have a totally pleasant life from here till the end. You gotta... Sometimes you have to be willing to take a stand, and that will end up giving you a pleasant life in the future. And if you're never willing to do that, in the short term you may be better off, but in the long term it's much worse. And on the contrary, you'll get a very happy life. You'll get madana, and the kid will end up growing up to be a good... upstanding person, and he'll give you much pleasure. You'll actually be able to enjoy him. You'll actually be able to enjoy him on a mature adult level. So it's a certain compromise, because in now, there is a certain part of a person that wants to be Mr. Nice Guy, wants to love his kids and give them whatever they want and spoil his kids. They never want to cause any conflict, any pain, any stress, but that's going to backfire. That's going to backfire. Sometimes you can't be Mr. Nice Guy, and it's not pleasant to you emotionally, but in the long run it'll be worth it. So that's like initially, that's the kind of thing I was pointing out, is the kid needs it. But I think that's the saying, it's like in terms of the mitzvah of chinuch, the point is the kid needs it, and it's part of the mitzvah of chinuch, part of teaching. Mishlei is saying it in this framework, because Mishlei is not about the mitzvah of chinuch. Mishlei is about like your emotions and your mistakes, and it's mussar to you. So it's mostly to you, you have to think about that, you know? But you could deduce from here that it's good for the kid. Because if it wasn't good for the kid, then the whole point for you wouldn't really be reasonable either, you know? So it's like it's using the pasuk of Mishlei kind of out of context. But you could glean from Mishlei that Mishlei Shalom else holding. That's part of, it's part of your long-term growth and raising of your kid. Yeah. Okay, so the next problem we have here is in the Rambam. It's two Rambams. It's a Machlokes Rambam Ravid. So the first Rambam is Rosh Shmiras and Nefesh. It's about Malkus. So you have this case of mitzvah is where you kill somebody when you're doing a mitzvah. When a Shliach Bezin is hitting somebody and killing him. So Rashi Rashi and our Gemara said, what's the case of Shliach Bezdin? So he said, in the Shliach had father, Rebbe, and Shliach Bezdin. Shliach Bezdin, Hamalki Arbaim L'chayiv Malkas. Talking about Shliach Bezdin hitting somebody with Malkas. Right, the guy's chayiv lashes, and he hit him, and you kill him. So that's the case of mitzvah. Okay, now the Rambam has like this, Hey Vav. So he says, what's this case of Shliach Bezdin? He's hitting somebody who's supposed to come to court. Supposed to come to Bezdin. So a guy has like a summons to come to court, and he doesn't come to court. So the halacha is, you got to be able to force a guy. A guy has to go to Bezdin for whatever it is. He doesn't want to come. So what do you do? Say, okay, fine, don't come. You hit him, you gotta force him. So you hit him, that's the procedure. You hit him until he comes. Okay, you gotta force the guy to come. Hey, Vav. Okay? Right. So it's interesting. So he says, Pturim in a galus, because it's a mitzvah. Right? Because it's a shogig. So, noticeably, he's not talking about a guy hitting Malkus. Isn't that an easier case? Taking a case of Shliach Bezdin, it says Shliach Bezdin who hits is a potter, right? Kills when he's hitting. So why is he choosing this funny case of where Shliach Bezdin is trying to force a guy to come to Bezdin and he starts hitting him and then he dies? As opposed to just, there's a mitzvah of hitting somebody with Malkus. Isn't that, that's just like a normal case. Rashi's just playing shot, you know? So this is what, this is exactly what the Ravid says. I'm Avram. Zulo shamanu me'olam. I never heard of such a thing. Bezdin shehu malka mima shemduhu bezdin. It's talking about Shliach Bezdin who hits him an additional time. The Bezdin evaluates that the guy's strong enough to take 21 hits, let's say. That's what they have to do. They evaluate him how much he can handle. They evaluate him that he's strong enough to take 21. And then he hits him 22. And he kills him. Right? And he makes that was the other one. Right? He says altogether, he never, I think the Ravid's altogether arguing is we don't hit people to force them to come to Bezdin. You don't do that, that's not what you do. He says, the Gemara says you hit people, you tie them up and you hit them. That's talking about Balei Averos who are doing an Averos. So you call till they do tshuva, you hit him until he comes, till he stops doing his Averos, whatever it is. But not just to not going to Bezdin. He says, where does Ram get this whole thing from altogether? So that's not really our issue about that, quite, you know. Apparently the Rambam holds that there is such a thing like that. But the Rambam is, for some reason, passing by the ordinary case of a Shliach Bezdin, of a guy who's hitting 40 Malkus. Right? Why is he doing that? Why go to this funny case, which is not even open, that there isn't even such an institution? So that's the Ravid's problem on the Rambam. So now if you look at the Rambam, there's another Rambam, which I think maybe will help us answer that problem, and then we'll... Tez Zion, this is in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Tez Zion Yud Beis. Tez Zion Yud Beis. That's by Malkus. That's what I'm hitting. So it's by Malkus. Okay, so it says like this. So when you hit the guy, Meis Tachas Yado, if he dies while you're hitting him, Potter. You're Potter. Okay, which sounds like good. So why doesn't Ram just say that case? He says, Vim Hosef Ritzua Achas Ala Omer Umeis. If you add an additional hit, Hareya Chazen Gola. So if the guy who calls out, right, this is kind of interesting. I think the Chazen is the guy who says how many to do. He says, hit him, or whatever he says, you know? So then the guy who announces this guy that goes to Golas, because he's really the one who did it, right? I think that's the Chazen. So let me see. The Chazan's one who hits. Yeah. Omer the Chazan. So for a reason, he's called the Chazan. Chazan's one who hits. You know, you think of a Chazan, the guy who goes up to the Omer Zav, he's the guy who's appointed to what to do the job. So if it's hitting, then he's the Chazan. Okay, fine. So the Chazan, so if the guy hits him an extra time, then he says... He's Harei Chazen Gola. He goes to Galus. V'im lo meis Harei Chazen Avraham Mitzvah Losa say Shnemer lo Yosef. If he doesn't die, he's violating Mitzvah Losa. He's alive to add an extra Malkus. Okay. So what do you see from the Rambam? If he adds an additional hit, he goes to Galus and he kills him. He goes to Galus, right? So why do you say it's mitzvah? Right? It's not like Gemara said, right? It's a mitzvah. Shlech person who hats, it's a mitzvah. So you see, so why, what's the answer to that? Why do you say not? Why not? Right. So the simple shot is that's not the mitzvah anymore. The mitzvah is to hit him a certain amount. It's in fact, it's a los asai. You're hitting it more than the amount. So now the mitzvah's over. Now you just stop hitting a guy. So that's the love. It's a love. Just hitting a guy. You're not doing the mitzvah anymore. So that's what it says. And it's, why doesn't the Rambam learn the case? What about if you kill him while you're hitting him? Straight up, that's a case of pater. So why doesn't he say that is the case of mitzvah? You know what I mean? Like, why he explains the case by us? What's the case of mitzvah? Just say, shlich person who hits him on the 39th hit, he kills him. Right? That's the case of mitzvah, and he's pater. Right? Why does he have to say this funny case where he's talking about a guy who's trying to force a guy to go to bed? Right? Yeah.
Well, because if they told him hit 39 times and he hits 39 times, then he's still operating within the bounds. He's operating within the bounds set by that base.
Okay, and therefore?
In the case of forcing a guy.
No, so and therefore what? So therefore that.
So you should say putter.
Yeah, then that's what he says.
Yeah, but you don't need to. But it should be obvious that he's
right. Butter. Right, that's one of this. Right, that's not shogeg. That's just honest.
Yeah.
Because if you hit him, the mitzvah is to hit him that many times, and you hit him that many times, and he dies. So of course that's not the lima because you're doing a mitzvah. That you're doing the mitzvah exactly what you're supposed to do. See, while you're hitting your kid, you'll say there's no amount of times you're hitting him. You hit him too hard. But in Malkus, you're supposed to hit him hard. You're supposed to hit him as hard as you go to, and you're supposed to hit him a certain amount of times. Now they make an assessment how many times. Now you do those many times, and now you kill him. That's your fault? Well, of course you don't go to Dallas. Not because you're also taking a mitzvah, just because you're not doing anything wrong. That's not shogeg, it's not anything. It's just whatever. These things happen. What are you supposed to do? That's not totally honest. Right? And if you're giving an additional hit, then the Rambam's going to say, then you're not also taking the mitzvah anymore. So the Rambam saw, in this case, you can't say it's talking about Shliach Bezin who's doing Malkus. Because Manav says, if you're doing the right amount, then it's totally honest. You don't need this Torah of Mitzvah. And if you're doing more than that, then it's not a Mitzvah. So what's the case? So that's what he has to say. He's talking about a different case. Cases where you're forcing a guy to come to Bezin, and then you have to hit him. And now the question is, you're not hitting him to kill him, you're hitting him to get him to come. And you hit him too hard. Right? You hit him too hard, you're not supposed to hit him that hard. So that's the case, similar to the case of a father or a rabbi hitting a student. Right? But the Ravid apparently holds, even in the case where you're doing an extra malchus, you do go to Gauss. And that's what he interprets as Gemara. And presumably that's how Rashi interprets it, because Rashi also says it's talking about where you give a guy malchus. And presumably, again, he's not talking about a case where you give him the right amount, it must be giving him extra. So you have Machlokas Ramam Ravid, is when, do you say, if you hit a guy an additional time, do you say that the exemption of mitzvah applies to that case or not? Right? That's basically the problem. And that's what we want to define. What's that machlokas?